The climax was a confrontation in a vineyard. God's prophet Elijah and Israel's king Ahab. And the first words that came from Ahab's mouth, "Have you found me, O my enemy?" Now Ahab had been part of a murderous plot, a case of corruption at the highest level. And still it's pretty striking to hear a king of Israel call God's prophet his enemy. But the story might call up some uneasy feelings in us. Are there times when we have felt found or found out, when it seemed as though God's come upon us like our enemy? Not that the Lord is ever our true enemy, but out of love, God has confronted what we have been doing or thinking, and it felt pretty rough. Maybe King Ahab didn't have a mom like I did, who did something like I described a few minutes ago, because it sure sounds like Ahab couldn't deal with not getting what he wanted. The story that leads up to the scene in the vineyard is a case of coveting, big time. Coveting, of course, is wanting something we don't have, something someone else might have, and it makes us feel dissatisfied. And how often does it appear as the root of more serious problems? Coveting is also a constant in our consumer-based society. Ahab's is a case of coveting and escalating. It sounds innocent enough at the start, doesn't it? Ahab, who lives in the royal palace in Samaria most of the year, has a nice winter palace up in Jezreel in a low valley that stays warmer at the winter time of year. And his neighbor, Naboth, has a vineyard there. And Ahab thinks, what a nice vegetable garden for my winter palace. And he offers to give Naboth a better, so-called, vineyard, or just to buy his. But here's the subtext. Naboth is a faithful Israelite. And this is family property. And according to Israel's ancient law, God has instructed that land is to stay in the families of original owners. Not only does Naboth probably not want to give up his family vineyard, he's being a faithful Jew when he says, "The Lord forbid, no," to a king. Well, that sends Ahab back to Samaria in a royal pouty funk. He can't stop thinking of that vineyard and how nice fresh veggies would be in the wintertime and how that really should be his. Enter Jezebel. You remember her from last week, Ahab's foreign queen, who got him to cozy up to the Canaanite god Baal, which led to Elijah declaring God's drought across the land to show who's in charge. She goads her husband. "Hey, I thought you were the king." And she takes charge. "Cheer up. I'm going to give you Naboth's vineyard." And she does what power often does. If you had asked her why, she might have said, "Because I can." And when it was all over, Naboth had been falsely accused of blasphemy against God and king and stoned to death. It all made to look legal, because that's what power can do. And with glee, she said to Ahab, "Naboth's dead. Go get your vineyard." And like a kid who'd been told he could go into the candy store after all, Ahab headed to Jezreel. Only there he met his enemy, the prophet of the Lord. To the Lord, justice matters. Justice done for all. That's the second of two things that prophets of Israel were often sent to proclaim. The first is, be faithful to God alone. And the second is that faithfulness means doing God's will toward all, and especially the most vulnerable ones in society. In the time of Elijah and other prophets, it seems that these were the ones whose lands and properties were being systematically, legally ripped off by those in power. Remember, the name Elijah, or Eliyah in Hebrew, means the Lord is God. And that's Elijah's message to Ahab writ large. And there in the vineyard, in the last two verses of today's text, Elijah says several devastating things. Yes, I have found you. You have sold yourself. What a damning contrast to poor Naboth, who had faithfully refused to sell what God said was his. And you have done what is evil in the sight of the Lord, because the Lord sees truly, even if deeds are done with the appearance of human legality and respectability. And lastly, I will bring disaster upon you. And disaster does ensue. Bloody disaster, as forecast, not right away, because Ahab reveals a strain of repentance to the Lord. But Ahab and Jezebel do die violently. And more significantly, Ahab's line is cut off within a couple generations. Justice matters to God. Scripture in many places recognizes that coveting, whether or not it leads to injustices, is a destructive force. It's the basis of the last of the Ten Commandments, though it's not necessarily the last one we need to hear. Wanting what isn't ours may or may not lead to outright breaking of the other commandments, as it did in the story of Ahab and Naboth's vineyard. But it can lead to plenty of misery. On a personal level, the straining of friendships, the ending of marriages, the throwing away of resources on foolish dreams, the lottery, gambling, the robbing of peace of mind, the capacity to be content with what we have. And at the deepest level, the failure to be faithful to God. How can we desire something else in our lives and not have it be a form of idolatry? On a social level, the costs of coveting can be overwhelming. Wasn't it at the root of the train wreck of the economy that put us in the recession? Or the disappearance of family farms? The exploitation of the resources of poorer nations by stronger ones that have led to a world of gross inequalities. As I acknowledged before, the economy that has so much blessed Americans can be said to run on covetousness. So this is a very tricky thing for Bible-based people. To covet can mean to want something strongly and earnestly and not necessarily something wrong or bad or belonging to another. To covet can also mean to be jealous of what is someone else's and even to go for it, as Ahab and Jezebel did. Our society would crash and burn if everyone were to stop wanting things. The question becomes, what's the cost of that wanting? When does it become unhealthy? When is it unethical or immoral? When does it leave others hurting? When does it pull us apart from God and from the possibilities for real community? If we take the Bible and the prophets seriously, we must be awake to the power of coveting in us and to the ease with which the powers that be can take from those with few means to defend themselves, and we may be called to speak out. Paul, in the letter to the Romans, reminds us that when we live within the grace of God, the powerful commitment to love others as God has loved us in Christ becomes our strong assurance in keeping God's law, including the law against coveting what isn't ours. And it's good that we remind one another all the time of how we are held within this love. But the God of grace also needs a church of conscience and courage, a church that will not hold back from speaking the truth to covetousness and to power. Thanks be to God.